You're listening to the Fun Uncle Podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of the Fun Uncle Podcast. I am your Fun Uncle Dude, joined as always by your Fun Uncle Brandon.
Yeah, yeah.
And your Fun Uncle Cooney.
Whoa, whoa.
So we were just talking about how...
Oh, yeah. The fucking, just like the quality content of like art. Because we were just talking about a couple like fringe pieces of like albums that like, man, more people should know about this. And I started going on a little rampage about how there's just more better, like spirit filled, more positive, like just good, just music or art in general out there that doesn't get mass appeal. And I was like, yeah, I guess, you know, not shitting on like Taylor Swift or Bieber or any of those guys, but that's what more people want. And I was like, that's probably a criticism more towards like our culture. The idea that there is this wealth of art that's really, really like nourishing to you, like your spirit. It makes you grow, transform. But you know what? Who's to say that Taylor Swift and Justin, that's not doing the same thing for these people.
Right.
Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Just because I like the more, I don't know, intellectual. Like
undergroundish type of.
Yeah,
like,
I get, you know, I
don't like Bieber much, but I mean, you know, Tay Tay's got some fucking catchy shit.
Yeah, she does. She does.
And you know what, dude? I don't know enough about it to be like too critical, but I just assume in a snobby fucking way that if you're not listening to, you know, art house fucking something or like, you know, that you just got no spirit. And it's like, that's not fucking fair at all.
Do you think like we're far along enough removed now that what we, you know, enjoyed when we were younger that just isn't listened to anymore can come back up?
Oh yeah, dude. I think if you listen to Oliver Tree music, I
like Oliver
if
Tree
you listen
lot.
To his Very two good. the he's got stuff out as Tree. That's like it was his old like more like hip hoppy, I guess. But the Oliver Tree stuff since he came out with the fucking with the bowl cut and all that jazz. All those. Well, two albums, every single song has like a moment or a riff or it sounds like you'll listen to that and be like, oh, that's part of a Sugar Ray song. When he raps, he sounds like fucking Ice Cube sometimes. You know what I mean? And you're like, he's just grabbing. I don't want to say like just grabbing. Like
he admits it too, though. I've heard him say something like that in a interview.
Well, I mean, I think it's like Monet. There's some badass artist that says something along the lines of like, good artists create, the best artists steal, that sort of thing.
It's Claude Monet, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a fucking, it's like a synthesis of, like, greatness, and then you put together your thing. And
right.
It's not really anything original.
You're as
not,
long as you come, as long as you have originality, your own originality behind it.
A little twist to it. But yeah, there's like, that's what avant-garde, like, initially means, right? Like, those guys who don't have anything to do with the synthesis, they're just doing their fucking thing, which is... You know, again, I guess that's what we're talking about, where those guys don't get the mass appeal because it is avant-garde. You know what I mean? It is a thing that's beyond, like, the synthesis of previous greatness. No, I love that Oliver Tree quote. He says something like that where he's like, I don't pay too much attention to music right now, but I have, like, a keen awareness of what's happened in the past. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can fucking tell. Like I said, when you listen to his songs, you can hear... I mean, we put on a fucking example, and sure the people will be like, Weezer, then the next one will come on, and you'll be like, fucking, like, there's a couple where it's super obvious. And people like me and my wife's age, that's the age of, like, CDs, and that's when we were kids, like, diving knee-deep, getting really into music, so.
You can tell he has an appreciation for it.
Right.
That 90s, well, I mean, dude, if you want, every fucking song has, like, a bit of Blink-182 in it. Just his tone, he's got that real California kind of fucking
style. Well, hip-hop, a lot of hip-hop started off of samples, sampling old music and stuff.
Oh, dude, I know, man. You know how many times
some of the best songs.
Yeah. I'd have Snoop on and be like, Mom, and think I was, like, fucking showing her the new shit, and she'd, like,
no.
Sly and the Family Stone record and be like, doesn't it sound kind of like this? And you're like, oh.
But to go
fucking George Clinton and shit and just ruin everything for
get
you.
Get out of my room, Mom. Right?
To go back to one of your points about like how some artists are just bigger than others or whatever. Record labels have a lot to do with that. Like how Taylor Swift and Bieber are so much bigger, you know what I mean, compared to other art. It's because of the labels. Like there's
there's still that Titan relationship, right? Where there's only going to be a special small group that gets pushed at that level.
And I'm not mad at it. It's like
I dig it. At least there's a threshold.
Like, hey, like if it's working for, you know, label X, fucking keep it going.
Yeah.
Yeah. As long as people keep buying it, there's no reason to change.
Well, what's the beef, I guess? I catch myself being silly like that where I'm like, the world would be a better place if more people listened to blah, 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 blah. And it's like, but it's not. And that's probably not even true. Because why? Why, Brandon? Why would it be better? Well, because that kind of music makes you think and there's energy. Okay, like I said a minute ago, is there no Taylor Swift songs that have that kind of that spark up inner dialogue and give you landscape for transformation?
Right.
Probably exactly. is.
Just well, that's what all music is. Right. That's all music has.
Just because...
Yeah. So I like it's good to catch yourself and be like, you're kind of being full of shit right now.
Like just because it's not doing that for you doesn't mean it's not doing that for somebody else.
It's like if you haven't listened to Immortal Technique, you don't know fucking this shit. You don't know what I'm talking about. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, there's always those examples.
And then they listen to fucking Dance with the Devil and get scared away.
Yeah.
God damn.
All right?
Yeah, I'm good.
But, my goodness.
And just, you know, kind of similar to that discussion, I've seen a lot of people talk about this, and we all enjoyed basketball when we were younger, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I feel like our little era of, like, when we actually paid attention to it, is probably the best.
Oh, by far.
That's another comment.
By far.
So there's.
See, I've been like, be careful with that. You know what I mean?
There's this discussion, and I don't fully agree with it. Like, I can kind of see where it's coming from, but there's a discussion talking about how young players, and especially like a Steph Curry, has ruined basketball for youth. Because now you see videos of kids taking fucking half-court shots.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, and it's not like the fucking time's running out. They're just trying to you know, hit from fucking, like, 30 feet away.
Well, it goes back to what we always talk about. We have this, like, running idea that when we start talking about this stuff that
the pendulum... We sound really old.
Well, no, yeah. That's part of it, but the pendulum swings. And when you're talking about... an individual that comes through and changes the game and then the older guard kind of gets pissy about it. It's like, I remember when like Allen Iverson and And-One type shit was like super frowned upon. And there's a lot of coaches that are like, man, these fucking kids have zero fundamentals, but they can dribble between their legs and they can go around their back and da 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 da. It's the argument that fucking with Woody Harrelson and Wesley Snipes and White Men Can't Jump.
Yeah.
And the repercussions of that was a super increase in like the European leagues. Remember all the Dirk Nowitzki, Ginobili, like all these fucking white boys from the other side started coming over and just being
sick,
boring, so to speak. You know what I mean? Not very flashy, not a lot of pizzazz, but they were fucking ill. Yeah. And it was like, look what happens if you keep fucking around. So yeah, dude, hey, get your half court on. Also, you're going to want to learn the regular shit, too. Right, you know what I mean? Like, the fundamentals never go away. If you're a fucking kid, dude, or if you're a parent, I wouldn't even... Maybe it's a shitty strategy, but I would press the kids to just straight watch, like, fucking women's basketball. You know what I mean? Like, be like, yo, man, here's how this works for you. You know what I mean? Like, get this down first before you start doing all this extra
half-court shots and shit.
Yeah, because I saw this fucking TikTok video... where, like, these kids, like, it was maybe junior high, right? So, kid dribbles down the court, gets a little bit past half court, attempts a three, right? So, the other team gets the ball, goes back other side, a little bit past half court, attempts a three. And they went back and forth twice each. It's like...
That's going to take
away. Were there any coaches, like, out of their in the footage, at least? Was there anyone are you doing?
Not visible in the footage.
Yeah.
But it's like, get the fuck, like, dudes open in the paint.
Yeah.
Do you think that's going to take away a lot of skill? Like, just them shooting the three, like, that's going
to. Yeah. Because, like, you know, there has to be a big body that's got to know how to take a fucking charge.
Right.
You know, there's got to be somebody that's going to be able to get another fucking player the ball.
Right.
You know?
Is there a gradual, like, evolution where it just has to change? Like, when I think of, like, football, how, like, the West Coast offense isn't, like, remember when that was, like, all the fucking rage? And yeah. It was, like, this new, short, quick, like, that kind of thing? And then, like, I guess the parallel in basketball would be, like, triangle offense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, but see, the West Coast shit got, like, figured out. The triangle can't get, like, figured out because it's fucking math.
Yeah.
And it's just... Right. It's variance. You know what I mean? Like, there's, hey, when you do this and that, these two things become open. Like, you know what I mean? And then you can kind of just shift that little situation however you can between your three guys that make up the triangle. But, yeah. That's, but like, in my mind, that's something that's, like, never going away. Like, how do you outgrow that?
Right. But, like, it doesn't matter what type of offense, offense you have implemented when fucking – Tanner's hucking it from 35 fucking feet.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right. That's what I'm saying. Well, that's what I was trying to find. I was trying to find, like, a defense of it where it's like, well, listen, this is the evolution of the game because, you know, shit gets out just like the West Coast offense. Like, this is how shit worked for a while. Well, now it works like this.
But yeah, then, like football, too.
Then revise it, like, going through it with, you know, with you just now. I was like, no, that actually doesn't make sense because triangle offense is still fucking... It's still pretty legit if you got the right people thinking about it.
Yeah.
Like, this ain't fucking Rock and Jock.
those were fun.
I know.
They were. I spend probably too much time on TikTok.
Oh, man.
I did see a TikTok of the game talking about how Eminem isn't better than he is.
Oh, man.
And that just made me fucking laugh.
Yeah, it is laughable. But here's my thing on it. Is Game, first of all, is not a bad lyricist. He could spit, right?
I like 100 bars.
Yeah.
But that's about it.
And if you're Game, as a rapper, you have to go in thinking you're the best. If you don't think that... then just get out of the game. You know what I mean? Like, unless you know your lane and, like, you can make hooks and make good music and you don't need, like, you know what I mean? Like, you have to know that you're the best. So for him to come out and say that, it's not a disrespect to Eminem. It's more of, like, a confidence in Game is how I look at it.
But just a couple years ago, he was on another fucking interview talking about how there's nobody better than Eminem. And there's a reason why nobody wants the smoke when it comes to M.
Oh, yeah, there's like I seen like clips of like 9 or 10 motherfuckers being like, yeah, you don't want it with that guy.
Why and the game was one that? Of those, right?
Yeah.
So it's like,
but okay, I'm wondering
you haven't gotten better in those couple of years. What are you talking about?
I'm wondering if he's talking about like if it was a battle or if it was just like bar for bar on a song.
Either way,
like, he's still not better.
Artist, I don't see you being.
Like, it's okay to be self-aware in that situation.
I told you about that video. We cover that where that one guy, how he explains, like, pretty rationally how Eminem's not in the top 10. And he talks about how it's likable music, how it's overly technical, how there's, like, you can actually, it actually doesn't check that many boxes. But the boxes that they do check, he's top of the fucking food chain. But when you look at, like, how big hip-hop is and all the boxes available to check when you're trying to find out classic artist, he really only checks two. There's two of them. It's technicality and fucking just longevity, maybe. You know what I mean? Like, there's a couple. But when you think about, I forgot who it was, but it after that video, I was like, damn, did this motherfucker just convince me that Eminem's not that great? But his greatness is so great in the boxes he does check. It's like, nah, he's fucking pretty high end.
And the fact that he out-rapped Jay-Z on Renegade. Like,
yes.
That's always, everyone always brings that up. Yeah, that out-raps anyone he's ever fucking been featured with, right?
Nas said it. Like, Eminem killed you on your own shit.
That's funny.
But, Brian, I have a question for you. Is there a better lyricist than Eminem?
Better lyricist?
Crooked Eye. He's on some Crooked Eye shit lately.
Like as far
and you can say if there is if you I'll think say, so that you like you can say who it is, but you got to have reasoning behind it.
Like there's rappers out there that are technical, like M. Like there's this dude Tolkien that can just like rhyme words and just keep rhyming and rhyme and rhyme and rhyme. But lyrically, well, yeah, right now,
like the Blackalicious guys, like there's a couple of guys when you're talking about like technicality. Even what's his fucking
Tech Nine,
name?
Like.
Better than am I?
There's a few, but I don't know if they're better.
At the actual technical cutting it up, I think fucking Afro fucking is better. Fucking what the fuck is his name? Rugged Man. When he cuts it up, is fucking pretty gnarly. Sometimes you're like, damn, dog, he's going hard. But just in that one department,
right?
That one attribute of cutting it up and being like gnarly, not necessarily just fast. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, because Eminem didn't really start that fast shit till like way later.
Yeah, till way. But no, I mean, I think Crooked Eye definitely up there, man. Yeah, and speaking of Crooked Eye, man, did you guys hear about that Slaughterhouse beef? At first, I thought it was.
Are they're in a beef with somebody?
Slaughterhouse broke up.
That was like a fucking mega group to me.
Yeah. So what happened was they had an album already and set up 10 years ago called Glasshouse. And it was supposed to get released under Shady, but Joe Budden had some shit with another label or something, so it couldn't get released or whatever. Just Joe Budden didn't want to be under Shady. He wanted to go in another route.
Mm-hmm.
So they ended up getting off of Shady. And Crooked Eye brought a 7-figure deal to the table for the group, and they were all about it. And he said he Joel and Royce and Joe Budden and Joel Ortiz Royce and Crooked were on a phone call together, and they were saying, "Yeah, get Joe Budden to call me. We need Joe Budden to get in. Like Joe Budden, you know, Crooked Eye. I need Joe Budden to call me." And so Joe Budden never called Crooked Eye. So Joe Budden has always been the one that's been holding this album back because he's been stuck in shit, and now he's not calling back trying to get this deal done and release the album. So what happened was, on that phone call, Crooked said, "Well, Royce, do you want to do this album with just us three?" And then Royce said, "It's not Slaughterhouse without Joe."
Yeah.
So basically, that's a no. So Crooked Eye went and called Joel Ortiz and was like, "Well, hey, let's just give the fans some closure and release an album called The Rise and Fall of Slaughterhouse."
Jesus.
And they didn't tell them. They didn't tell Joe Budden or Royce.
That's fucked up.
And so a song ended up getting released, or a video got released, and that's when they all found out. And then now Joe Budden and Royce are all on fucking Clubhouse and all these lives talking about it, and Joel hopped on one of them and he talked about it, and then Joe Budden was like, "That album can suck my dick," like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, at first I thought it was WWE shit.
He thought it was a work.
I thought it was a work, but it's real shit. And I'm like, this made me not like Joe Budden at all. And it kind of made me like lose a little respect for Royce too, because he's siding with Joe Budden.
Well, like, I mean, dude, who the fuck knows how many different angles of that? You know what I mean?
They explain it on the album. The album's great. It's got good beats, good hooks, and they talk about it on the album.
Speaking of Joe Budden, I sold him TV once at Target.
For real?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Joe Budden pissed me off, like. Like, I wanted to get a lot, like, it would just take up too much time on this podcast to talk about it and to get it all out. But it's just, right now, to me, fuck Joe Budden, and I think Royce is a fucking pussy for siding with him. Because it's just, like, Budden is known to be a fucking, a pain in the ass that does not do business well. It's known. And and for Royce to just come out and not even do a three man with him. Didn't even have to be called Slaughterhouse, but just the three men. And he said no. And so, like, in my eyes, Joel and Crooked are the baby faces in this. They're the good guys in this because the fans. And what happens is every single time one of these four get in an interview, they always get asked about Slaughterhouse. When's the next Slaughterhouse album dropping? And it's 10 years. Like, get over it. So, fucking the only way to get over it is to just end that chapter and talk about the rise and fall. And not talk about it, no live shit. Put it into art. You know what I mean?
You want that album beef?
Yeah. Like, not just the album beef.
But you know what?
Like, but people, tell me about...
People are willing to wait fucking 10 years for a new album. Like, it was like 14 between Tool's latest album and the album before it.
Tool's a lot bigger footprint than Slaughter.
But that was also a group that was formed before. Like, these four just came together because they were dope MCs. So they all had different business. They all had different managers. They all had different lawyers. So all the paperwork that they had to go through, it's just really hard. Fuck that. Yeah. So, yeah, people are willing to wait 10 years. But and on top of it, Joe Budden quit rap. Joe Budden said he quit rapping. So how can the Slaughterhouse come out if he quit rapping? Like, that's another thing that pisses me off about Royce. It's just like, you're not going to make a new album. So at least make the one with the three that are still rapping.
Joe Budden's such a heel.
He is. He always is. And so yeah, they just made the album. Like, could you imagine if back in the day a rock and roll group that broke up?
All of them.
Yeah.
What you're about to say is what every single rock and roll group did every single
time. And could you imagine if some of them came out and actually released an album and talked about some of the things that were going on and why they broke up?
Well, that's only really what you're talking about there specifically in coming out with an album and talking about it on the album. That's only really available through hip hop.
I was just thinking that. Yeah, it would be hard to do that.
But because there has been stuff like that, like the fucking Beatles drummer who got flipped out. Didn't he make like not the Beatles' greatest hit? He did like a kind of a fuck you album to the Beatles. I can't remember the specifics, but that's a true thing. And then there's been a bunch, man. The Led Zeppelin guy who was in Jeff Beck, he had like a bit of a he had a fuck you fucking like Yardbirds or Led Zeppelin kind of fucking thing. Like, bro, there's a lot of that kind of shit.
The fucking
Van Halen, we were just talking about that. Like, that whole fucking thing was epic when, you know, we were little.
The Misfits broke up, never were friendly for 30 fucking years after they broke up. You know, over some fucking old band members wanted to still use the fucking name. And, you know, just look like hindsight. What we missed out on wasn't worth their fucking beef back then.
Right.
So.
That's funny.
And you know what? It shines a light on how glorious from the outside that type of life looks. But when you're really that person in the position and it's in the group.
People in relationships. Are you a person? It's hard, man. You in a relationship? Then you know what it's
yeah,
like.
Yeah, and it's hard. And for us as fans to look at these groups and just.
Like they're not four fucking people.
Yeah, right? They are dealing with their own issues and their issues inside of that group.
But
you know?
No, I need an album yesterday. Right.
Yeah.
You know, it was one of those impressive things. I saw one of those like lists back in the day of it was like guess what or guess who sort of thing. And it was a band and it just listed all these accolades. You know, this many records sold, this many world tour tickets, this many this, this many that. And everyone's like, Beatles, Rolling Stones, did it. And it was actually fucking Bono. What is it? U2. Mm. And I was like, no shit. And one of the most impressive check marks it had on there was that was disqualifying a lot of people's guesses was it's all original members from the very first day they started till right now. It's always been those guys. Mm. And so when people were putting up their guesses, they're like, wait, but they've... No, they switched out their bass. You know what I mean? So there wasn't.
Yeah.
It was like, who the fuck can this possibly be? So it was a good reveal because it wasn't on anyone's mind. But just how I said earlier, how it was like this guy convinced me that Eminem fucking might not be that sick was it was one of those lists where it's like, you two can, they're in the running for the greatest band fucking ever. They have all the numbers. It's the same guys. Like, once you see that checklist, you're like, yeah, who's going to argue with that? That's fucking amazing. Look what these guys put together. It's crazy. And none of them were even fucking, like, musicians in the least. They started out just trying to be a punk band, just making noise. And then they became, like, this phenomenon, dude. It's way crazy. But, yeah, there's what happened with Slaughterhouse. That's happened in every fucking band ever from what I remember Behind the Music? There's a whole goddamn show.
Yeah.
A whole fucking show about why, how this bullshit happens. These poor fucking people.
It's like one of the best fucking like docuseries ever.
Fun, right?
Because it was always on a story you're interested in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What? Why does MTV not do stuff like that anymore?
Because they don't have anything to do with fucking music.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, it's not MTV anymore. It's RTV. It's reality TV.
I remember my dad saying that to me when I was a kid and laughing my ass off. He was like fucking talking about MTV not having music no more. We watched like the MTV Movie Awards. That was that's when he said it. We were watching the MTV Movie Awards and he walked in the house or whatever, walked in the room and was just like,
Movie awards for MTV? This?
Why? That doesn't make sense. And I didn't give a shit. They were great. The old ones were fucking sick. Do they still do them?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
award shows are like, everyone hates how political they are nowadays, right? Yeah. Aren't they like on a huge decline? Yeah, no one watches them anymore?
Yep.
Well, and because it's starting to come up now that it's basically just like it's not. The people, the artists that they have in the categories for, like, best albums and all that stuff, they're not, they're all, like, record label. It's just, like, they don't have indies in there. You know, so they found out.
Metrics. Indie guys aren't going to have the same numbers.
Yeah, so people are starting to realize that the Grammys is just a celebration for the record labels to celebrate the artists that they put out.
All that pageantry, all that posturing, all the bullshit in that fucking town, just Hollywood and, you know what I mean? Like. That's what that whole fucking place is built on. Just recycling fucking nonsense.
Yeah.
With each other and celebrating it.
For generations.
Yeah.
Bananas.
Like the Emmys, most of their movies that won Best Picture, I don't, like a lot of them, aren't even that good.
Well, yeah. A lot of them aren't good. I didn't just mean like. How everyone who gets an award gets to do their fucking, like, political speech or whatever. But just the idea that the most, like, well, I hate this fucking word and I hate talking about this kind of shit with folks. But, like, it's woke movies that are winning these awards, not necessarily good movies by any means. And they always, I see a couple of, like, YouTube commentators that they'll show, like, the Rotten Tomatoes the different kind of voting. Mm-hmm.
It's
like when it's
how the critics go like 100%, but then all the everybody else 3% is like
3% approval from like regular folks. Yeah, and the critics are fucking hailing it as amazing. This dude, when you start fucking like doing that to art, is like what is the fucking point? Then this is what we were talking about earlier, about sports and like a meritocracy.
I don't mind political stuff in my movies and stuff as long as it makes sense. But if it's there just for like a social justice purpose, then
it's hard to tell like, what's contrived new cartoon. And what's like
there's a new cartoon on Comedy Central. It's called Fairview. And it's very, very left-wing-ish. Like, there's a lot of left-wing stuff in there.
Everything is except for two channels.
But it's funny, though. Like, they pull it off. Like, you know what I mean? Like they're going very left-wing politically in some of their comedy, but it's funny. And I'll watch stuff like that. Like, even if I don't agree with it, if it's funny, like, or if it's good, I'll watch it.
Yeah, comedy but just don't push it down my throat. Well, yeah, I mean, if it's comedy driven by that sort of thing, then that's
But SNL is doing comedy in that type of way politically, and none of it's funny. And all the new talk show, all talk shows and stuff.
I always hear people shitting on, like, late night guys.
And those hosts used to be funny, too. Like, Jimmy Kimmel was my favorite. They're not even funny anymore. Like, they don't even attempt jokes.
I'm sure they do. I haven't seen any of that shit in so long.
Well, they do in like their monologue.
Yeah, but there used to be like Jay Leno used to have funny punchlines. Like he used to talk about political things, and then the punchline would be funny. But now when these, when the talk shows talk about something political, instead of having a funny punchline, they have an incentive behind the punchline.
Well, you know what?
It's not a funny punchline. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. In my mind, if I hear something like that, if that's what the case is, I just think that when they're writing, the writing room isn't focused on funny. It's focused on a message.
Yeah.
And then we need to fit in funny somehow because this is a comedy show. And it's like, well, that's backwards. Aren't you guys doing this wrong?
Yeah, aren't you supposed to do
because
funny?
Because they're always, I watched an old clip of Robin Williams on Johnny Carson back in the day. And the whole fucking segment is, like, super political. And all the comments were like, this is for all those idiots that say that, you know, they don't like that late night's political now. And it's like,
well, it's always been political.
It's always been like that. It's just you don't either agree with it or you don't, or maybe you just really don't
think
it's funny.
It's not funny.
I haven't seen any of it enough to fucking shit on it.
It's just not, it's not funny.
Well, maybe it's not just what you find funny.
Well, it's not.
I've heard that's like a big, like that's a big complaint.
Well, see here, but here's the thing though: is the numbers are
not funny anymore.
The numbers have declined so much that that shows you that it's not.
People have been shitting on Saturday Night Live since I was a little kid, dude. Everyone said like, "Oh, that show hasn't been funny." Every fucking year, that show hasn't been funny.
Will Ferrell and them was the last group.
Even when that group was on, I heard adults that were like, this shit's not funny anymore.
But now, but it was.
And now we look back at fucking some of those, like, the more cowbell and the camping boy and all that shit. Like, those are the cheerleaders. Like, that shit was hilarious. But while we were watching that, I remember all my little fun uncles and all the fucking people, all the adults in the house, we're talking shit that, Saturday Night Live hasn't been funny in fucking forever.
But they...
Everyone says that.
But since Eddie left.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that was everybody's argument. But Saturday Night Live was never really that political, though, was it? They didn't do political-driven comedy.
Bro, remember fucking George?
They did,
bro?
Yeah.
George got fucked.
But not as much as they are now.
Every fucking day.
Yeah, Dana Carvey, as both, George Senior,
both of them,
Will Ferrell as Bush Junior.
Yeah, well, they made fun of him that way, but like,
well,
what do you mean
then?
Yeah,
but they like comedy. It's like comedy storylines with political views put into it for no reason.
I think what you're talking about, and here's another phrase that I fucking hate, is like the messaging and what do they call it? Fucking oh man.
It's the virtue signaling that
that's the fucking phrase I fucking hate. Yeah. They used to be political and it was just straight making fun of something. Now it's making fun of it and then trying to like push the idea.
Exactly. Yes, that's what it is.
Oh, like put their little bend on it?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, this is funny. Shit on Trump for being the way he is. But when you get into like the politics of it and you're trying to like, you're trying to squeeze in a little bit of ideology, it's like, hey, calm the fuck down.
Yeah.
This is a goddamn sketch show. What are we doing here?
Right, yeah.
It also put guys on the map, dude.
His hands aren't even that small.
I didn't even know fucking who Dan Crenshaw was before any of that happened. Now I fucking make sure I listen to, like, I think he does a good job of, like, breaking down Senate situations to, like, layman's terms to regular. Because you
say
can't.
Say the name again.
Dan Crenshaw.
Dan Crenshaw.
The dude with the fucking one eye. Yeah, the Davidson kid did like a skit on him or someone did and it got a lot of backlash and I was like, oh, they shit on some veteran, and then the veteran went on the fucking show to kind of like, you know, let everybody know he was fucking not a crazy person, which was this is when Trump administration day, so everyone just thought conservative. I mean, they still, I guess, do, but conservatives are the worst people fucking ever. And
you know
then
what's
this
the
like super right conservative fucking former military.
You know what the weirdest thing is, and what I don't understand is that the way that nowadays people that are Democrats, just because they have a little bit, or just because they side with one thing on the Republican side, all of a sudden they're a Republican. But isn't that what politics is about, is to find common ground? So if you're a Democrat and agree with a Republican view, shouldn't that be good? Like, why are you demonized because you're Republican when you're really Democrat?
I can't tell if I'm overthinking it or people are underthinking it when this comes up. Because people always go, how can you... I could never be aligned with a party because you're never going to agree with the entirety of the party. You're always going to have disagreements. Like, yeah, I agree with this, and this, but I don't agree with this. So I can't be a this or that. But you got to understand that there's different, like, there's a philosophy. There's a fucking democratic philosophy. There's a Republican philosophy. Mm-hmm. It's not just the specific ideas and the kind of things that you want to get done. It's conservatives and Republicans. They think about things a certain way. That's why it can't be demonized. It's just different.
But it's the far sides of those two, though.
Well, the far sides are always going to be the far sides. It's how the people react to the far sides that's super fucking important. Like, there's always going to be fringe ideas and stuff on both sides that kind of sound crazy to anyone sitting in the middle. That's always going to be a thing. Mm. But the idea that you can point at another side nowadays and be like, those people have it wrong. It's like, you're out of your fucking mind with that shit, dude. Like, I think it's just healthier to understand the utility of both sides and play the healthy tension. Mm-hmm. Why is there liberals? Because there's always, in any sort of hierarchy, there's always going to be a disenfranchised little space. There's always going to be a bottom rung of people. In the system that we have, open borders, so to speak, where people can come in and they're not set up, they're going to have less money. There's always going to be people at this bottom rung of the hierarchy. And that's what liberals historically have always pointed out. Hey, look at these fucking people that are getting kind of shit on. What the fuck? They needed that representation. Awesome. Conservatives have a more of a structural nature where they like the system. They want to keep the system clean and the way it's supposed to be and work in the best way. You need both of those.
Yeah.
You need there's always going to be a hierarchy, no matter what anyone tries to fucking fool you with their airy fairy fucking bullshit. Like, there's always a hierarchy. When you walk into a fucking room, you create a hierarchy with the people in your immediate space.
Yeah.
This guy. Who's he to you? How do you measure up with him? You do it every fucking room you walk in. So you just expand that circle bigger and bigger and bigger. There's always a hierarchy. And conservatives want to keep that hierarchy running the best possible way. But with every hierarchy, there's going to be a bottom rung of people that are eating a little shit. And so there's the liberals that'll come around and point it out. You need both sides. So the idea that you can just tribe up and throw rocks at another side is fucking crazy to me. It's like, bro.
And you know what's crazy is right now, like, you know, they say like capitalism and all this, like capitalism works. Well, capitalism right now is dying because there's only five major companies that own everything. And those five major companies own, you know, like one of them owns Pepsi, one of them owns Coke, one of them owns Delta, the other owns Southwest.
Yeah.
So they're monopolizing, like they're monopolizing all the free market. You know what I mean? Like the whole, you know.
So to
speak.
Like
BlackRock. Like there's a few of them we can get the names into and stuff, but.
I don't think that's a criticism of capitalism. That's just a criticism of fucking monopolizing big entities.
It's right.
Yo, that's, you know.
Yeah. And
winners keep winning.
Yeah.
Dude, that's a physics thing, bro. That's another thing about economics that most people that talk so passionately about it, I don't think it's really, like, really considered, where that's how it works with everything. What was it called? The GPD, General Pareto Distribution? Like,
GDP.
20% of the people are going to get 80% of the shit. That's all. Dude, that's, hey, the least amount of rivers have the most amount of water. The least amount of people have the most amount of money. Bro, this is a nature thing.
I'll tell you what, it's better than having kings and peasants.
Well, there's, I mean, fucking,
you know.
Well, yeah, capitalism, dude, people that shit on capitalism trip me out because it's like, dog, you seen what capitalism has done for the world?
I know, yeah.
Like, the net positive of capitalism in the last 100 years is bonkers.
It's the monopoly that these
people can use. It's crony capitalism and bullshit that's a fucking problem, because that's when people, when it's not a free market and people aren't free to do what they want or try to produce what they want to do, and they're getting held down in whatever sort of way. By the nine people that own everything, and
this whole great reset.
But that's not legal either.
This whole great reset that they're talking about is how you'll own nothing and be happy.
I've been hearing that shit since fucking 2008, the worst idea,
because first of all, that takes away all the free market. That takes away capitalism. That takes away everything. So it's gonna end up being 20 people that own everything while everybody else owns nothing.
Well, I think there's I don't know about that.
Well, BlackRock's already doing it. They're buying all the houses, and they're like at high value, so that normal people can't buy them because they're raising the price. So now, what are you going to do? You're going to rent. You're not going to be able to buy houses anymore because this company, BlackRock, is buying them and selling them at such a high price that normal people can't buy them.
That's why so we now need to be like the motherfucker rent. In Yellowstone. You'd be like John Dutton. Tell these motherfuckers get off my land. Yo, man, that fucking show, kind of talking about what you're bringing up right now, really makes me want to, like, I don't want to own a, I don't want to be a homeowner in Las Vegas. I want to own land in fucking Montana, or I want to own land.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
In fucking outside of Jackson Hole, Wyoming, or one of these beautiful, like, I want to own
land. My family owns land in New York. Up.
Yeah, dude, that's sick. Yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't, well, I don't know. New York's a little cold for me, but if I had some, like, I don't know. Two things happened on that. I watched the first episode of Yellowstone last night. Everyone's telling me it'd be your favorite show ever, so I had to fuck with it. And they have a funeral at the fucking, like,
wait, don't say anything. I need your password to Peacock because I want to start watching Yellowstone. But
is that what it's on? Yeah.
Yeah.
You could have saved that.
I know. Right? I know. I just wanted to feel like Bert Kreischer and say something for no reason.
It just made me think of, like, ownership in a different way, because you always think of, like, owning a home, and then you pay the tax on the home, and then if something breaks, it's a... My old boss gave me, a rundown of why renting is not a shitty thing, and he convinced me. I was like, yeah, dude, you know what? Fuck that. If you're making a bunch of money and it's not really... I don't have that stigma in my mind that, like, when you grow up, you own a home. Like, I'd rather rent in this city and make as much money as we can. Get this. Here's how I say to my wife all the time. We're going to do 10 years and get this city money so we can go to the sticks.
Yeah.
Like,
you know,
I'd rather own something in the forest and rent out here than own a fucking house here.
That makes sense. I get that. Yeah. I get that if you have a plan, but if, to own something somewhere else. But if you're just going to keep renting, if you're not going to have kids, I get it. But if you're going to have kids, aren't you going to want to own something so that when you pass away, you have something to give to them?
That's what I mean about, like, the land. Like, I would like to build a little something on, like, acreage, dude. I don't want to fucking own one of these lots in the middle of a fucking city. I want to own a chunk that I can build a little shack on. And what I mean about the funerals. Like, his whole family's built, like, that's the legacy spot, bro. This is where fucking the family's buried. This is where fucking grandpa,
this is our shit.
Grandpa grew up in Las Vegas, fucking moved to LA with no fucking money, met grandma, had Eli and Bobby, came fucking to Vegas, bought this, and now we have, like, this foundation that's not going anywhere. Like,
it's like the land that we stole from the Indians.
I mean, stole is a fucking crazy word, but it was,
just a we did compromise and gave them land, but
it was fucked up.
And syphilis.
Yeah. That's not even true. There's no germ theory back in those days. Like, when people talk about that, like, you know what they did? They wrapped up the smallpox big. And
yeah, but
that wasn't, like, a purposeful thing. That was just a fucked up thing.
I don't know. I mean,
you read a lot of internet shit, dog.
If you're thinking of weapons, what's the best? You know what I mean? Like, what's the best
biological best weapon?
Right. Yeah, I mean, besides, like shooting stuff, like, just give them dirty blankets.
But they didn't. That wasn't, like, a fucking thing. Why did I bring that up, though? I don't know. Damn it.
Because you don't like Native Americans?
No. I hate Native Americans.
So that was the old man portion of the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Just because we probably sound like kids listening to us be like, you know, okay. Oh,
yeah,
kids
listen. Yeah.
And then fucking roll their eyes as they walk away.
Yeah.
Ugh, that's the problem.
Yeah.
Should listen. Oh,
we still have a really old man thing for the mixtape that we got. Definitely old man-ish.
Yeah, but it's so fucking cool,
dude. Oh my god, man.
So we're taking a little break from a hip hop. We will get back to it though, I promise. And we're dipping our toes into rock. What would be considered classic rock today?
But that's weird.
Yeah.
And I think the... Sorry.
And so this week's subject to teach our nieces and nephews about is Led Zeppelin, one of the all-time...
Greats.
Yep.
And I think this music and all this classic rock music holds the stand of time. Like we were talking about earlier, a lot of hip-hop that we used to like growing up isn't really standing... isn't really standing up to the time. Like a lot, some of it is, but there's a lot more classic rock that is standing with the times than hip hop.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's like standing with the times. Yeah, but like it was almost like just personally how it just didn't like hit the same way. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like I remembered those songs being like
differently
bigger.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
just like then, a more robust song. And now I listen to them and they just seem kind of janky. Like cheap.
They were cheap. A lot of those, you got to remember, like a lot of those, like especially Wu-Tang too, they were recorded in the basement.
I'm talking about like when we were in fucking high school. The example I had in my head when I was talking about that is when I just mentioned it, fucking when I was listening to a couple things off Marshall Mathers LP, and I was like, these songs are like fucking boring and sound goofy. Like it sounds like just not great. And I remember
you're not saying the whole album. You're just saying some songs.
Just the songs I remember.
The production in general?
Yeah. I just remember them being, like, just bigger.
Yeah.
And they just seem, compared to, like, today's music, it just seems, like, cheap.
There's a few, though, off, like, man, like, Rock Bottom and shit, man. But, yeah, there's a few of them. Like the one where they were where he was talking about shrooms and shit, like, where the one where he was shrooming out and talking to plants.
So let's get back to Led Zeppelin.
Okay. I'll go first just cuz I'm probably going to name a lot of the bigger ones.
Okay.
But number 1 I got Whole Lotta Love.
It's a very good one.
Yeah, and then I got
Cadillac Commercial.
I got Good Times Bad Times.
That's my favorite one.
Black Dog.
Okay.
Black Dog's classic.
And then
my favorite.
Got to have Stairway to Heaven.
A lot of guys get real pissed about that.
Really? I love that song.
It's like one of those songs that people like, it's the best Zep song, and then other people are like, it's probably the worst. Like, it's fucking weird.
I think it's one of the greatest songs of all time.
A lot of people think that, too, and it pisses people off. It's like, fucking
of
weird.
All time.
Stairway to Heaven has a weird fucking position in rock.
which to me is very odd, because it's
you can't
a
play
great
the guitar
fucking
center.
Song. You can't play the riff.
It's what everybody learns.
It's
That's the
weirdest,
first one you
I don't,
learn.
So, and then I had All My Love. And then Heartbreaker. And then The Ocean. And then Cashmere. And then,
is that because of Puff? Or because of Led Zeppelin?
Because of Led. And then
my dad was
number
furious
9.
When that happened.
At 9, I got Black Dog.
You just said that.
Yeah, you got Black Dog already.
Oh, okay. Then I'll put Houses of Holy in there.
That's an album. That's a song too, though, right?
Yeah. Houses of Holy. And then 10, I think it's probably one of my favorite ones just because it's not as big as like the other ones, but it's The Battle Forevermore.
That.
The shit that he said the pain of war cannot exceed the woe of aftermath. The pain of war cannot exceed the woe of aftermath. Like, dude, that's just one little thing. Bro, the shit that he was saying in that was incredible. And it's up to the dates. Like, if you listen to it today, you would think they just released it. The Battle Forevermore is, oh, my God. Fucking love that song. And then I got honorable mentions. I got I got The Time Is Gonna Come, Ramble On, What Is What Should Never Be. There's so many, man.
See, yeah, I like, oh, I like, song, I like all like, the slow ones.
There's so many honorable mentions. Man, there's so much. I think this should be like a 30 take. You know what I mean?
That's what we were saying in the kitchen before we came out here. I was like, Led Zeppelin's one of those fucking bands where, like, if you get their greatest hit CD, you're missing fucking so much shit.
Yeah. And for the kids, I guarantee you they've heard a lot of their songs but don't even know it's them. You know,
I remember that recollection, like with the Beatles, where I knew a lot of songs and then I finally sat down with like a Beatles album and I was like, all of these are the fucking Beatles? They did all of this? I was like, fucking hell. So every song and every commercial I've seen since I was fucking 9 is a Beatles song. Like, I thought that was crazy.
All right, dude, I'm excited to hear yours. I think dude put together a fucking gnarly list. I think you got some good ones, and I want to go and actually listen to them because I think you got some good underground ones that I probably haven't heard.
All right, I'll go next then. So I went through their whole discography again just to get refamiliarized because,
right.
In all honesty, like I really really love Led Zeppelin, but there's so many bands from that era that I prefer to listen to more.
Mm-hmm. Soaked up more of your time.
Yeah, yeah. Like The Doors, yeah. For instance. Yeah.
The Doors, right.
Yeah. But so I was like, you know, let me just go through everything. It was a slow day at work. This is a couple days ago. And I went through every album. I had 10, right?
How many albums did they come out with?
Man, it's only like fucking
seven,
and then yeah. Do you know when the last what?
No, eight. Sorry, eight.
Do you know when the last one was? What the date was, or what year it was?
I don't, that it was released. It was like,
aroundish.
I know it was in the early 80s. Yeah.
So they haven't released any since the 90s.
Well, 80s. John Bonham died, mm-hmm. and they called it quits. Yeah. That was another thing I really thought was cool about them. Is like when one of the members fucking passed away, they didn't like replace them or like, you know what I mean? Right. Like they just stopped it. And it wasn't like they were on like their last legs. Like they were still in the fucking game doing things. Like they weren't, you know, 1969 fucking taking over the world as this new fucking heavy band.
Yeah.
But they were still fucking players in the game. They just did that with the Live Aid and all that kind of shit, right?
Yep.
The big ass.
The one cool thing is that even when they did perform again, they use John Bonham's son.
Yeah.
That's dope.
Yeah, they still do That's that cool. every now and then, right?
That's cool.
Because I'm sure they sound a lot alike. With him.
Yeah.
Well, he's a drummer.
Does he sound a lot like him?
I mean, no one's going to sound like John fucking Bonham.
But, I mean, he's the closest thing you probably get to sound like him without an impersonation, right?
Dave Grohl. Well, no, he's a drummer.
He's a drummer.
So you don't hear
him. Oh, okay. See, that's how out of the loop I am. God damn, man.
Next to the Tool
fucking I feel so drummer. Embarrassed. Cut that out, please.
All right, so I, like I said, couldn't hold it to 10, so I went 20.
That's heavy.
And I forced myself to go to 20 because I had 19, and I was like,
round it off.
Another one.
Round it off.
So at number one, I got from their first album, How Many More Times?
Okay.
Number two, also from their first album, because I am a sucker for there were more bluesy shit. I Can't Quit You, Baby. Also, this next one is very bluesy. Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You.
Okay.
At number four, I got You Shook Me. Number five, You Have to Have Dazed and Confused.
That is a good one.
And then from their second album, I got Heartbreaker.
Oh, so you're doing them in order from first album to second album to
just because that's the order I listen to them in.
Okay,
and right. Like even when I got my favorites from all of them, like they're. I mean, because this is all, you know, it doesn't matter the order.
Right.
But I figure, you know, I'll just go in
order. So what was that one again?
Discography. A Heartbreaker.
Okay.
Followed by Whole Lot of Love. Followed by What Is and What Should Never Be.
Mm. What Is and What Should, yeah.
That's the fucking one. I love that shit.
Number nine, I got Moby Dick, because you have to listen to a fucking John Bonham solo.
I didn't put together like a list, but I had like the ones that I thought you guys wouldn't bring up, and that was one of them for sure. Good.
From their third album at number 10, I have Since I've Been Loving You. Mm-hmm. Number 11, Tangerine.
That is a fucking great fucking song, dude. I remember my dad put that on and was like, I don't know, I must have like threw the phone through the fucking drywall over some girl, and he was like, you need to listen to something. I think he put that on. I was like, this is what I listened to when I had my.
You said Tangerine, right?
Yeah,
it's a good one, dude.
I haven't heard that. I probably have, but
fuck that shit.
Because I'm writing these down as you say them.
Off their fourth album at number 12, I have Black Dog. Number 13, my favorite number, is also my favorite Led Zeppelin song at number 13, Battle of Evermore.
Ooh, oh, okay, love, that's a good one. I remember
number
listening to that when I was doing my research.
Number 14, which is just a good, like, southern bluesy, little heavy song from their fourth album, When the Levee Breaks.
Dude, okay.
If you're gonna put something on that's like heavy bluesy, that's the one. Just because the fucking
I love bluesy.
The way, dude, the beginning of that song will make you so happy because there you can hip hop the fuck out of the song, dude.
I think I had that one on my.
It's fucking ill, dude.
So at number 15 from Houses of the Holy, I have No Quarter. Number 16
that
from...
That song used to scare the fuck out of me when I was a kid.
I fucking loved it. Tool does a better version.
You think so?
Better version?
Yeah. Number 16 also from Houses of the Holy, Over the Hills and Far Away.
Over the Hills. You said Houses of Holy was the album?
Yeah. Okay. Number 17 from Physical Graffiti, In My Time of Dying. I also have Kashmir. And number 19 from Physical Graffiti, my second favorite Led Zeppelin song, 10 Years Gone. And number 20 from their album Presence, Nobody's Fault But Mine. I just also want to point out that I didn't like anything from In Through the Outdoor that I thought was worthy.
I was just
going to
say, I was like, you got everything from like 1 through 4 in some Houses of the Holy.
What album was No Fault of Mine on?
No Fault of Mine, or Nobody's Fault But Mine, Presence.
I'm listening to these on the way
home. Led Zeppelin getting a lot of shit because a lot of their stuff isn't like really theirs. Like Nobody's Fault But Mine. You ever heard the original one?
No, who's it by?
Something Stark.
Was it like was it a cover or just a straight ripoff?
That was a cover. They always, heavied it up. You know what I mean? If you grab any song where they're like, hey, this is where that song came from, you'd be like, yeah, but this is fucking different. You know what I mean? Like, it's for sure different.
It's like Queen of Vanilla Ice.
Blind Willie Johnson.
Okay, so who was Led Zeppelin's lead singer? Was it Led Zeppelin?
Robert Plant.
Robert Plant. Okay.
Zoso and the Feather. Dude, my parents were like Led Zeppelin fucking family dudes, so...
I'm not too into it, and the kids that are listening, whatever, might not know who were the members in the group and what do they do.
John Bonham was the fucking drummer, and he was the best ever. John Paul Jones was a bassist. He gets not a lot of love.
Not a lot of love.
Bassists never get love.
Whole less of
Flea gets a lot of love.
The bass is my favorite in hip hop, at least. The bass is my favorite part of every song.
Well, like, do you the mean bass the actual lines. Okay.
Not like the 808 bass.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But like the strings.
He doesn't get a ton of love, but a lot of his shit is like, the lines that he has through Led Zeppelin songs are like, you needed that. You know what I mean? There's no Led Zeppelin without him. I'll put it like that. But the reason he doesn't get any fucking love is because he was up there next to fucking Robert Plant, one of the most like gnarly, charismatic fucking frontmen to ever live.
It's like the frontman of frontmen.
Yeah.
So there's like, only four members in the group.
Yeah. And then the other one is Jimmy Page, which arguably top five guitarists to ever fucking live.
Yep.
Dude, the first like couple, I remember when I was little, my dad would put on like there wasn't like YouTube. So my dad was like in these. He would go through like Recycler magazines and all these like different back pages of music magazines to find collectors that had tapes and shit. Mm-hmm. It was like adults trading wrestling tapes, but instead of wrestling tapes, it was like footage from their Long Beach concert in 1978 or shit like that.
What's their famous New York one?
The Garden one?
There's
the BBC tapes that everyone like has.
BBC tapes were the shit.
The BBC tapes, The Garden.
Look those up.
And then the Las Vegas
BBC
Symphony.
BBC tapes?
Yeah.
Or Las Vegas. The Long Beach Symphony something show, I think. That's like a famous
What is
one
that?
Too.
Is BBC tapes? Like, is that a like YouTube thing? Or is
it No, movie BBC on... is like the main fucking
British
broadcast
channel.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
So
I knew that.
When they recorded at the BBC, those were the tapes they put together.
Oh,
so it's cool because it's like half done shit, right? It's like stuff that you get to see like the creation of some of their stuff unfold.
That's and like, I love that stuff.
Because it's recorded like live, like there's versions of their songs that they play where it's like, oh, that fucking live version is sick.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That was another thing that my dad would say. He goes, every one of their concerts is different, though. So they would like slightly switch. Pearl Jam's like, I'm sure most rock bands are kind of like that.
Yeah.
But not in a very like, not where the song is like different, where you're like, this is fucking different, man. So they would kind of switch their shit around from what I understand. And they did it well. One of the best live rock and roll bands. That's what I always hear from like contemporaries, like other rock and roll frontmen that were doing their thing at the same time where Led Zeppelin took over the world. Like they were like, yo,
their live shit was just
those guys. They're like the Brother Ali of. Yeah, like those were like, they're like, yo, bro, there's stories of John Bonham like not having fucking drumsticks, bro, like breaking all his drumsticks and then finishing the fucking concert with his hands. Are you kidding me? They called him the bear because he would just, they'd say he'd fucking growl and fucking do shit with his hands.
That's dope.
Bro, you listen to that Moby Dick fucking solo while he's in the live versions that they have available. I'm sure they're all on YouTube now, but when I was a kid, daddy had to get those tapes off of fucking. I remember like meeting people up in like fucking Vaughn's parking lots to go get like fucking Zeppelin tapes and like shit like that. I always thought that was super cool. And the first time I ever saw anything like, I got it in the wrong order because I guess I could have seen Kiss first with all the light guitar and the smoky guitar, smoke and the flames and all that.
Yeah. But more of a show than a concert.
Well, yeah, but I also see the thing about Jimmy Page's like theatrics was that it was functional. The lights didn't do anything to the sound. It was just theatrics.
Right.
Jimmy Page came out with a fucking violin bow and played his electric guitar with a fucking violin.
Are
bow.
You fucking yeah, dude. Kidding?
He was the yep. first guy I saw with like a two neck. Oh
yeah, the double neck.
I mean, he probably wasn't the first to do any of this, but he was the first guy I saw, and yeah. I was like, dude, who the fuck? And he had all these like symbols, you know, like all that occult shit.
That's how I was when I saw
Jimmy Page is how I found out who Aleister Crowley is. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, wow.
All the ways I learned, all the things that I got into because of the doorway of like having a Led Zeppelin-esque house were like a lot of shit, man. Because I don't know, I think it's just a son trying to like, you see what your dad's into, and you always want to be your dad's buddy. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you always want to like fucking. Be something to him.
Do you?
So when he's like fucking doing things, it's like I want to be interested in what he's into.
How the fuck did I forget his name, dude? God damn it.
Who?
The black guitarist, dude.
Jimi Hendrix?
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, that reminds me of when Jimi Hendrix played the guitar with his butt when he turned it around.
Dude, with his fucking mouth
and and his tongue and shit. That was hard.
That motherfucker started frying balls, lit it on fire, and then watched the spirit walk away. Bro.
Right.
That's fucking bananas. Like, that's crazy shit.
Could you imagine if instead of Woodstock, those guys were performing at like, oh, no, never mind. For some reason, I was thinking Burning Man's like a concert, but it's not really like a concert. Never mind.
I think they got, no, they don't, huh?
Brandon, you want to go through a list of what you got?
I didn't really, like I said, I was hoping to like chime in with some stuff that you guys did really do. There's Dyer Baker. I don't think you guys brought up. That was like a super fun one. That like mm-hmm. just the way the beat of it always was like sounded just really different. I don't think any of you guys said "Fools in the Rain." That's like a famous one. You don't like that one?
No, we haven't said it.
No, well, dude said he went through the whole thing, so yeah. I'm like, if he went through it, he listened
there
to
were
it.
Just others.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
What was one?
I think Fools in the Rain was one that I listened to on the greatest.
Oh, the Wonton song.
Oh.
I'm surprised you didn't. That was the one where I was like, I'm shocked that's not on dude's thing.
I didn't want to go too fucking
esoteric.
Yeah.
But I, as a kid, dude, I actually didn't like... I still don't like Robert Plant's fucking rock and roll singy voice, that high-pitched fucking, I couldn't, dude.
Sounds where, like fucking where, Jericho.
Yeah. Bro, I'm trying to, like, fucking sleep in. Am I, you know what I mean? Like, I hated that shit. I was like, turn this fucking whiny bitch off.
That's dude. Like his rap version of, hey, yo, dude.
I couldn't do it. I was like, I can't stand this shit. But I loved their, like, acoustic-y, like, really lower, like, Going to California. You know what I mean? The Rain song, Tangerine's kind of heavy, but not as bad. Since I've Been Loving You, there's a couple.
I'm about to lose my world and mine.
It's such good shit.
All of my love.
Yeah, I don't, I mean, there's so much. I'm going through, just flipping through like the Rolling Stone top 40 that they put together, and there's like still things we didn't even say. I have Misty Mountain Hop. I fucking love that song.
I almost put that on there.
That's a fun fucking song, man.
There could definitely be a part two to this.
Oh, dude, these guys go forever.
You said Misty Mountain Hop?
Yeah. When the Levee Breaks will be Brian's new favorite fucking song.
Dude.
Garen fucking Teed.
Listen, it's like a perfect fucking wrestling theme song.
Really?
You know what? I like period piece stuff, and he wrote a lot of the acoustic-y kind of stuff. It just seemed like a part of a time, like a simpler time. Do you know what I mean? You know, I listen to all the violin fucking folk shit. Like, I like to listen to stuff from like a different thing. And the way his writing, that's why I like the Lumineers. That kid writes.
Oh, I love the Lumineers.
That kid writes some of his songs like he's a fucking grown man in the fucking 20s singing about shit that's happening then. And I like it. It takes me to like a place that I never was. It's really nice.
The Lumineers, isn't that Jack White?
No.
No, you're thinking of
Racketeers.
Yeah, oh, Racketeers.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the Jimmy Page. Robert Plant had a lot of that kind of stuff. I always liked their slower shit. The fucking the chick with all the men are lined up in church. They're actually looking for you type shit. And
You know what's really cool about this is when I was a kid, you guys were more diverse in music, so like you went and listened to Led Zeppelin stuff. And instead of me going and listening to Led Zeppelin, I went and did all my research on hip-hop. You know, like, I went and did, like, KRS-One and just listened to straight hip-hop. I didn't go and listen to rock. So I think at this age now that I'm not into hip-hop as much as I was, it'll be good to me, fun to me to go back and listen to all the old classic rocks.
But it wasn't just like a, that's what we listened to because we were that, you know. It started earlier with our parents, Ed and Jane, yeah, with Brandon. For me, it was my Aunt Esther and my Uncle Henry that got me into Led Zeppelin.
Okay.
You know, so it starts when you're younger.
Your dad listens to fucking rock and roll, bro. Yeah. I've been in the car with him, dog. Like,
yeah, he does. He just never
did. He not, like, play? Was your house not, like, a music house?
It wasn't that much of a music house, no. Like, it wasn't, like, dancing.
I make sure there's music on, like, in the morning.
It was sports. It was always sports.
You're right. Sports-driven house.
Yeah, it was more sports rather than music. Yeah,
you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's so interesting. Like, yeah, I mean, of course, we talk about it all the time. Every house is like its own little universe.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So some houses are just like fucking, wow, I wonder what the kids, because you want to project it a certain way. But
yeah, I wonder what Brian would have turned out like.
Whoa.
Like, would you have been a fucking, like a punk rock kid?
Oh, I know, right?
Yeah.
I would have went all out, man.
I see it, Doc. Yeah, no matter what direction it was. It was going to be the whole thing with his Ice Cube hoodie.
Yeah, I would have went all out, man.
I'm doing that because it's like I've always had like I remember stuff really well. So when I get really into something and I dive really deep into it, I got a good like retention with it. So I could talk about it a bunch.
I wish I did.
And I like it, and I like the response I get from, like, older people, like, that have been in the game for a while, and I talk to them, and, I'm selfish with that feeling. And so it keeps me from diving into, like, newer shit and being vulnerable to not knowing what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. That's when I was younger. Now I don't give a fuck. But I like diving into, I was just talking about, like, this old fucking fiddle fucking music or, like, Eric, I don't even know how to say their names, like Eric Satie and Chopin and like these piano, these old, not Beethoven-esque, but like just slower, kind of like more Western-ish sounding. And I don't really know. And it's like, hold on, this is a whole nother universe of shit.
Mm-hmm.
I can learn there's a whole nother history. You know how I get into stuff, dude. It's like, I'm going to know all the shit about how this music came to be. And it's like exciting because for that old, I mean, we were at the park yesterday, and I had my little music on, and it was my sister's boyfriend sat down, and he looks at me weird. I was like, "What's up, Jess?" And he was like, "Is this the fucking credits to River Runs Through It?" I was like, "Dude, you want to know something hilarious? That's precisely what this is, because it's just scores. You know what I mean? From like fucking those old timey movies, Legends of the Fall and Braveheart, and it's all the same guy, I think." But I put that on and it's like, I want to dive into that. Liz, even first, she was like, for my birthday, she was like, oh, I was looking for like a live like orchestra, like symphony thing to like go to. Would you be into that? And I was like, fuck, I think I would be. You know what I mean? Like a conductor and like watching how it works. When you're a kid, you don't give a fuck about any of that stuff. But like now I was like, I thought it through and I was like, I probably would really fuck. And it was shocking me as I was thinking it through. And I was like, dude, you would probably really fucking dig that, man. Like, and live music in general is fucking sick. I don't give a fuck if you're slapping a bucket or if you got if you got a Tool concert, you know what I mean? Like just super, super high-end tech production. Like live music is always, I'm always happy with it. Even if I don't even like it specifically, I'm always going to enjoy it.
Yes, it brings a good energy. Brings
something, and the way those auditoriums are like built out so like you feel the music run through you, I was like, bro. Yeah. I'll fucking do that shit.
Speaking of live music, don't forget that March 19th is
Marshall
is Marshall Dog Moon Wild, their first time performing March 19th.
I saw his little post, dog, fucking bouncing around the backyard, getting down.
Yeah,
I'm excited for that, man. I have not seen that man on stage in a hot one, and I try not to listen and like nothing. I want to hear it all, like when you hear it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah. You know, have you guys seen the new Batman?
No, it just came out, right?
Yeah, I'm kind of disappointed with it. It was good. It was very good.
No spoilers.
No spoilers. But it was 2 hours and 50 minutes, but I think it could have been an hour and 45. Because there was a lot of scenes.
Well, you said 215 or 250?
250, 50.
Oh.
So it's like a Titanic?
Yeah. And a lot of the scenes were very slow. And I mean slow as in like showing them like walk up really slow, and it was like a whole minute of just walking somewhere, you know what I'm saying, instead of just like cutting to the fucking scene. Like there's no reason. Like I get the artistic idea of that.
You don't think the director did a good enough job keeping the pace of the
it was not a good pace at all. It was a horrible pace.
I understand, because you want it to be, in my mind, I haven't seen it, but
especially for an action movie like Batman. Like,
well, it's whatever movie he wanted it to be, you know?
But it was good, a great storyline.
Did he play a good fucking Batman? It's such a trick to me.
You know
he
what?
Seems
I
like
don't
such
know.
A little guy. He I was seemed, like, I'll fucking seemed, beat he, the fuck out of
I,
that
you
guy.
You know what? I don't know.
You know
he
funny?
Looked good as Batman.
You know what's funny is, like, I saw somebody bring up the point where, like, he is the in-between between Bruce Wayne from Gotham, so fucking young, and Christian Bale.
Yeah. And that's why I said he looks like a good Batman. Like he has the good
he looks he Bruce Wayne for it.
But his Bruce Wayne character was too depressing for me. Like he always had the same depressed look on his face, and
still
I didn't
sad
like that.
About that night.
Yeah, I didn't. No, it wasn't about the night. It was just him. He was just
a bummer.
Yeah, like I don't know.
He's in turmoil, bro. He's watching the city crumble around him. There's only so much he can do.
You know, emo about it,
right? Yeah, but like,
cut your fucking bangs and get your.
Bruce Wayne was too emo for me.
Somebody at work said he saw it, and he was talking about he really liked Pattinson. He said he really liked him as Bruce Wayne, but he didn't like him as Batman.
Do you know? See, what I mean? Was the opposite. I like
he
him
might
as
have
Batman,
said the opposite.
But I like Bruce. I didn't like him as Bruce Wayne.
I mean, I kind of have the similar thing because, like, I liked Val Kilmer as Bruce Wayne, but not as Batman.
That's interesting.
Mm.
Those throwaways were fucking. I didn't do the George Clooney one, the fucking Val Kilmer one. And I, dude, pretty big Val Kilmer and George Clooney fan, if I'm not, you know what I mean? Like, if I'm being honest, bro, like, right. I love those two. Those guys make a lot of my favorite shits.
Yeah.
And, I didn't like any of those joints. It's the first fucking two Batmans are so fucking sick. I don't understand how the Chris Nolan shit got over so heavy where everyone forgot how dope, like Heath Ledger did so good. It's like, yo, Jack Nicholson didn't suck, bro. Like that wasn't shitty. I'm not taking nothing away. The Heath Ledger shit. When I watch it and I still get like, I got goosebumps when I first watched it. The stuff he does with his mouth, you know what I mean? Like, he licks his lips the way his eyes. I was like, yo, man, he did it. He did that shit. Making the pencil go away in the first scene like that, bro?
Yeah.
Like, that whole setup was like, that's a good-ass movie,
You know what's funny how you said you didn't like Val Kilmer as Batman? But I think the Batman Forever was one of my favorites just because the Riddler is my favorite character. And Jim Carrey played the Riddler so fucking good.
That was funny. Who Val Kilmer was the Batman for that one?
In Batman Forever with Jim Carrey, yeah.
Which one was George in? He was in the next one after
Batman
that?
Batman Returns.
Yeah.
Who was the bad guy in that?
God damn, who was it? The Penguin? No,
is it the Iceman?
Mr. Yeah. Freeze? Yeah, yeah, it was, yeah, it was Arnold. It was the
Bane's
Iceman,
in
yeah.
one, too, with Ivy, Poison Ivy, Freeze.
Yeah, because Poison and Ivy and Freeze were in the same one together.
Bane's in that one, too, though.
Yeah.
Where they just pump him up.
Yep.
And that's the George Clooney one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I seen them all a bunch.
It was George Clooney
little.
And fucking Chris O'Donnell, or not Chris O'Donnell. Yeah, Chris O'Donnell.
Yeah, he was crazy. Yeah,
as fucking...
Robin.
Yeah.
There is a moment in the Riddler one, because I used to watch on, like, Nick at Night, the old Batmans, the right. Adam West ones, the bang, bing, boom, yeah. and flipping the phone and all that kind of shit, dude, the button and all that stuff, and the statue. I loved all that shit when I was little. And so I remember the show, and during the movie... When they come up on the island where Riddler and Two-Face are, O'Donnell jumps on it and he goes, "Holy rusted metal, Batman."
Yeah.
And he's yeah. like, "What?" And he looks at him all weird and he's like, "No, no." And he kicks it and he's like, "This, the island, it's made of holy rust." And I was like, dude. And I was still young. I thought I was so clever for catching that. You know what I mean? I was like, yeah.
Speaking of the thing. Speaking of movies, you know what's funny? It's like I always thought, like, you know, every time there's a scene where somebody walks into a church and then they go to the pew, there's always somebody in the pew. And in my head, watching all these movies, I always thought that I could walk into a church and enter a pew, and then there's just a priest sitting there waiting.
Waiting to talk to you?
Yeah. Like, I thought the priest had never left.
Yeah, movies fuck us up.
Left.
Is a pew a confessional booth?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like
pews the lines of chairs. You're talking about the booth. Okay.
Yeah, I'm talking about the booth. I always watch the movies. They always go in and there's somebody there already. Yeah.
Well, isn't there a time? Isn't like for confession so long. Like a thing?
But yeah. I get what Brian's saying. Was, you know, can you imagine like a priest is going, "Finally."
Right? For the longest time, I thought that there was always just a priest sitting in there.
That's so funny. Just people slipping them sandwiches through that little window.
Breakfast back. I went to fucking church, sat in the booth, there was nobody there. Waiting for an hour.
Confession.
Catholicism. Mm. All right, that's going to do it for us. One of these fucking episodes, we'll interview Tash.
Tash
at his earliest convenience.
Tash was working with I don't want to say his name. He's working with a very, very well-renowned producer. And I can't wait to hear what he comes out with that. But, yeah, he was busy working with somebody way more important than us. So, yeah.
But we'll get to him eventually.
Yeah.
Until then.
Woo!
Have a good one.
Mm-hmm.